Just to see if you've opened some to try and win yourself some on the site.
All right, we're going to go. We're out of here. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne on FUBAR Radio.
Stay home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.
Hello there, this is Ian Bolesworth, and I host the Ian Bolesworth Show on... That's what they've written on here, the Ian Bolesworth Show. I've always considered it just the it's a show, innit? It's just... Either way, it's on every Monday from 4 till 6pm. And I'm just sat in the studio on my own. It's sat here, ready to work. The truth is, I don't... Beyond the basics, I don't really know the actual buttons. I don't know how you record it. I know that Audacity comes up sometimes, and I know they press record at some point, but I don't know how they work it. But I hope you're doing okay, and I hope you're enjoying listening to this stuff on FUBAR for the Stay Home and Chill programme that they are doing. Very good it is too. The clock isn't working on the monitor, but it's the time. Look on your own clock, it's that time. That's what time it is now. And here's a repeat of... I don't really know the other shows. Nick Helm, he's on, isn't he? This is Nick Helm's show. I reserve the right to not be sued if it isn't. It's our show. It might be my own. Could be me. I hope it is me. Here's my show.
Ian Bolesworth.
Whoa. That was a cheeky little number, that cheeky. Was. Finishing all quickly like that. Talking I wasn't expecting that. I literally just looked up and went, oh shit, 6 seconds.
Talking of cheeky, happened. Though, it's now...
No, it's Chico.
Chico. Cheeky Chico.
Cheeky Chico, that's yes. it.
Do you want to go with... Is that what we're going with?
We're going
cheeky
with Chico?
That's
Chico.
Exactly it. Today yes. I'm Cheeky Chico.
As if
Cheeky
Chico...
Cheeky Chico, talk into the mic.
As if Chico wasn't a good enough brand in itself, you've added Cheeky to it.
That's it.
I know two ladies who'll be very upset about that.
Oh.
Why?
I know two girls that will think that they've got the trademark on that.
Okay.
Well...
What?
We should share a like. No, I was just turning his mic up a bit, that was all.
Okay, Nat's doing some technical stuff. How are you, man?
Do you know what? I feel alive. I'm grateful to just be breathing, to be honest.
That's a good start. Well, do you know what? I didn't know about this. Nat just told me, like, earlier on.
Yeah.
That you had a bit of a scrape with death.
Yeah. 7 months ago, I had a, right. what you may call a near-death experience, not realising it was a stroke, thinking it was
yeah,
a spiritual
stroke.
Yeah, yeah. Major stroke, like a 50 pence blood clot in the right hemisphere on my brain.
Okay.
Thought that it was a spiritual experience, and right. of course it wasn't, because when your left arm starts going numb and you start going and everything starts to go, you should actually take, you know, you should remember the fast advert, which
yeah,
is
yeah.
you know, look yeah. at your face, is your arm going funny, you know, speech and time or tongue, mm-hmm. you know, and all of those things were happening. But I think my ignorance at the time saved me, because in my head I was going, strokes only happen to people who don't look after themselves, or yeah. you know, maybe slightly senior or, yeah. or not. I didn't think people that worked out were fitness fanatics with a six pack at 47 will have it.
That's so that's the weird thing, isn't it? Because I'm a little bit younger than you, but not much. But I'm like, I would be a dead cert for a stroke, surely.
Well, touch wood, that no, don't want to say that and put it out there,
if it happens, it happens, but the, you know what I mean? I understand, but you know, I would certainly have had you down as like, no, he's super fit, that dude. He'll have a stroke when he's 67 or 70.
Whatever, you know, and you're probably not. But you see, again, this is the misconception of this. It could happen to literally anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
What we're talking about there is... prevention, for me, prevention is better than cure. That's probably yeah. why we're doing this whole fitness thing weekend at Pontins. But it's about highlighting that this could happen to anybody,
yeah.
but also you can do certain stuff to help it, because it's a great percentage is a lifestyle.
Okay,
yeah.
So what would be, so it's called the 48-hour party, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
48hourparty.com. And what does that actually entail?
Well, it's kind of like we're calling it Chico's Block Fit Party. And what I've done okay. was we collaborated with Pontins, basically. And what we're doing is I'm inviting the whole fitness industry. And I'm not just talking about the industry from a physical point of view, because there's, again, that misconception.
Yeah.
Everyone is buying to the outside, which is the physical, which is a six pack and a J-Lo butt.
Yeah.
And what we're saying...
Not quite everyone. Can I just... I'm going to pull you up.
There is a six pack. No, just under a few dinners.
Yeah, more or less. It's not. I'm a very muscly man. I've said this before. I'm a very muscly man, but it is very buried. Yeah. But I used to be super. Like, not. That's not Ooh. True. I don't know why I was going to even
no,
lie.
I was going to be super fit.
I wasn't super, but I was physically super fit. I wasn't.
Yeah.
I didn't look super fit. But I played sport.
But can
hours.
I just say what you just said there? That is exactly the misconception that people think that you have to look fit to be fit, and
yeah.
that's actually not true. You know,
yeah.
I trained over 500 instructors to teach my BlockFit brand. And honest to God, some of my best fit instructors are actually mothers who've had a few kids, yeah, who are a little bit on sort of the curvy side, may, yeah, I say. And mate, listen, they give anybody a run for the money. When you look for them, they are brilliant at what they do. They look fantastic. And again, they are like healthy on the outside. And that's the misconception is, yeah, some people could look healthy on the outside but are fat on the inside and vice versa.
I'm both. Yeah. I'm fat inside and out. But there's a now what we've hit on there is a potential stumbling block for this.
Yeah.
I think. And it's something that I think needs combating on a social, not just a worldwide scale, really.
Yeah.
Is that what you remove by saying you can be fit but you wouldn't necessarily lose weight and all that sort of thing is you remove the incentive. So the incentive to most people to get fit isn't because they're worried about having a stroke or a heart
attack.
Right. It's because of how they want to look.
Yeah.
Which is a tragic state of affairs, you know, in my opinion. I think that's absolutely horrible. So that requires a complete shift in perception for people to stop worrying about how they look and as long as they're fit.
Yeah, but you see, this is exactly why we're bringing the fitness industry together. We've got the best of the best in the country, but we're not talking just about the physical aspect. We've got speakers, we've got motivational speakers, we are inviting cancer survivors, stroke survivors, and we've got a whole well-being aspect of, listen, let's educate the mind and connect to the heart and the rest will follow.
Have you got a kebab trailer where people can get, if they wanted to get a kebab?
Oh yeah, they listen, we cater for everything, and what I believe is the middle road is the best. Being extreme at anything, being on one side of the same sort of line is no good. You've got to be somewhere in the middle. In other words, train, keep active, eat well, but never deny yourself anything.
Right.
Never ever deny yourself anything, because for me, when people say to me, oh, you know, if you're sitting down looking at something and do you eat a cake or do you eat this, I say yes I do. And if I feel that I'm going to have a little bit more, all I do is an extra 20 minutes on the bike or in the gym.
Okay.
So I kind of balance it out that way, but you gotta live a little. But again, what I'm saying is, once the mind is working in its order and it's not a living in a prison called the fear of what they think of me, then what tends to happen, we find that it's an open prison, and you've never really been in prison because you're already free here. Therefore, it lets every cell in your body say, guess what, I'm going to enjoy this. And as a byproduct, your body starts to see change anyway.
But was your initial fitness kick, so how long have you been like a ripped bloke? How long have you been, you know?
Well, I've done I was into fitness all my life. So from a kid, I actually wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be a footballer.
Right.
And then from there, I went into martial arts. And from there, I was competing and I had some injuries. And I had some kind of, I thought I'd go in and do some rehabilitation with weights. And I was genetically gifted, and all of a sudden I started seeing magic results, and boom, I thought, vanity kicked in.
That was going to be my question. Was it driven by vanity in the first instance?
Oh, absolutely. I would honestly say anything to do with the physicality, especially when you're younger, is to do with a vanity. Vanity, right. Absolutely. What I call it is, let vanity be your driving force. That's not a problem, as long as, you know, you don't become so egoistical to say, you know, let it become your driving force, not your destructive force.
But there is a worrying aspect, because it's a very thin line between that.
Of course.
Pardon the pun with that. But there's a very thin line of going, of then losing perception of what you actually even look like.
That's
and,
right.
You know, and losing perception of what's fit. And once you get addicted to losing weight, you then can't stop.
That's
and
right.
There comes a point where you have to stop.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, bodybuilding is a great example of that.
Yeah.
You know, the normal person in the street would look at someone, male or female, and go, wow, I'd love to look like that. But that person...
Don't look at Nat when you say that.
But that
Thank you.
No, you wouldn't.
He just did. He just said it to me.
But you see...
Thank you,
Chico. I'd love to look like that. But you see, what they don't understand is that very person who everyone wants to look like is actually a prisoner sometimes by looking, going, I'm not big enough, I'm not cut enough, I'm not this enough.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do here is to go, hey, middle the road is where it's at.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, with BlockFit, why I devised it in the way that I did, which is dance, combat, HIIT, yoga, meditation, all in one, four blocks.
Sleep.
Sleeping
as well.
Yeah, because
the meditation.
Because the meditation part, actually, you know, sometimes I do testimonies. I go, what's your favorite part? They go, that meditation bit, sending to sleep. And I'm like, yeah, you know. But you see, again, that was dealing with all the facets of the human physiology.
Mm.
All right. And what I love about it is the super fit can sit next to the beginner and not feel out of place, because we give modifications of different exercises that would never make you feel out of place. It just makes you feel like, oh wow, I can do this, but hey, next time I can do what the intermediate is doing,
yeah,
and next time I can do what the super fit can do.
So how do we tally all this with the fact that, and again, I'm not being confrontational at all, I'm genuinely interested
absolutely.
In this. How do we tally this? So the entire raison d'etre of the block fit thing is because of the experience that you had. Okay, that's where that's arrived out of that. Yet the irony of it is that you were super fit.
Yeah.
And you did have a stroke.
Yes, that's
do you know what I mean? So it's a difficult thing to sort of go, hey, get fit and you'll be all right. It's like, well, you wouldn't. You know.
Yeah, it's funny. It's almost like that someone on Twitter, you know, just wrote down and went, oh my, you know, obviously he was swearing, but it was like, oh my effing God.
If you want to swear, you swear. If you want to swear, you swear.
Oh my.
I got children, I tell him what to
say. Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
I'm very excited to have Rams in the building with me. How's it going, babe?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really well. I mean, you must be a little bit more better than good. But also, you came in on, obviously, Barking went absolutely insane worldwide. Like, everybody was gassed.
Yeah.
It broke records. But also, it was your first song.
Yeah, you can say that. Obviously, being able to release songs before, but your first song properly on, like, Spotify and Apple Music, like
the official sort of official, you can buy it for 79p type thing.
What actually counts, I think, it's what everyone dreams of.
It literally is, though. Are all your friends incredibly jealous of you? Are they all no. What is this thing that you have? Can you give it to us? Can we bottle it and sell it as merch on the Rams tour?
No, everyone's happy. Some people, do you know what's funny about it? Not everybody thought that it would do that, so I think that's why it's so good having your friends around sometimes. It doesn't mean they're not real, because they'd never thought the song would do that, because not even I thought that would do that. So, but when they, the track speak for itself, no.
It's a banger.
Literally.
It's a banger. But just quickly, I just want to double check if your ting has stopped calling you at 7 a.m. because that is horrible. Like, she should wait till at least 9. Or whoever's calling whoever, wait till after 9 o'clock in the morning, surely.
Yeah. Now I'll speak to them, say a couple of different girls that around the 7 o'clock time.
All right, okay, so it's a thing that you like to do. 7 a.m. is your sort of witching early, hour, is it?
The early calls are the best.
Right, because I would be absolutely livid if someone called me at 7 a.m.
Yikes.
So tell me, where are these other girls from? Is there different? Are you allowed to tell us that there's girls that are not from Barking?
I can't tell you where these girls are from.
Okay.
They're from different areas in London.
Okay, well, I'm...
Some cross country.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in one or two.
In maybe America?
I would say... Oh, no, I can't say that. I was about to say it.
Okay, well, I'm from Walthamstow, so if you've not got any there, I'm free. If you're up for it. No? Okay, next time maybe.
I know one or two, maybe.
Okay.
I'm joking.
There's too many already.
I'm joking.
Damn, I missed my slot. I've noticed that your mum is amazing on Twitter.
Yeah.
She's incredible. By the way, you can get her at MelGY999.
Yes, mum.
You're actually going to block her, I saw recently. But she's incredible. She recently hacked her Twitter and said, my mum is the best, written by my mum. Got to go before he catches me. Lol. Hi, everyone. Yeah. She's the best person ever. I mean, I've got the same problem. My mum comments stuff like, oh, wow, isn't she a great presenter and stuff? And I'm like, mum, everyone knows you've got the same surname as me. Stop. Is there anything like embarrassing that your mum said online about you?
Yeah, she said some stuff where I just went, what are you doing? Because it's not even like her account's on private. Like, everyone can actually see it.
And yeah, like, I had a good look. I had a really good look.
It gets likes now as well, so it's like, oh, mum, this is a joke now, man. Like,
did she get to meet Stormzy again? Because I know she met him and got a really bad picture that didn't show.
Yeah. No, she never did. But so she must probably meet him at Wireless.
Yeah, so Stormzy, like, you need to redo that picture
because
it needs to happen. She seems great, though. And also linking in with the new single, Family Tree, obviously you wanted to shout out your family, your mum and all your friends. It's a really beautiful song and a beautiful video.
Thank you.
And it's nice that you kind of dropped something that was totally different from Barking as well.
Yeah.
Did you feel excited to just talk about something that was really close to your heart? I'm not saying that the girl from Barking wasn't close to your heart, but maybe, you know, family and friends.
Yeah, like, for me, family and friends at that moment of time was how I was feeling. Especially because I feel that if the break wasn't so long from me dropping a song, I most probably, if I'm very, very honest, wouldn't have, like, dropped that song. And a lot of people wouldn't have said that. But for me, because the break was so long and so many things were going on behind the scenes, it was like, I need to say thank you to everybody that's helped from the minute Barking has dropped to, like, now, to, like, this day we're speaking right now.
And was it important to you to get all those people in the video?
Yeah, very important. Some people I'd seen for the first time. Like, it's so funny. But that's family for you. You see some memes, loads of new people, like, every day.
And do you feel like you have a really good support network with your friends and family?
Yeah. Yeah, very. Sometimes I feel that when you get to, like, a certain level, sometimes you feel that nobody's support doesn't really, like, count.
Even a stranger sometimes that can say, like, yeah, listen, Rams, I think your music's sick. It's nice to have that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, some days you can go out and you're just making the right moves where you don't get caught by anybody. But then it's like, you can go out and then pictures, somebody saying nice words, and then you just start to remember, like, why you're actually doing this. So it's, yeah, sometimes it's, like, very good.
And you jumped on the Decline remix with Ray.
Yeah.
Which was a banger, by the way.
Thank you.
Really loved that track. Is there going to be any more collabs coming up soon that we can get excited about?
Yeah and no. If, like, I'm honest to the public, there's not, like, I wouldn't say a lot of people I don't like in the scene. I would just say, just not really connected with to work with.
Yeah, yeah. But then, well, I've also, you don't have share. To. Yeah, you don't have to. Love everybody, but is there anyone you could pick out, whether it's here or in America or in another country, that you would be like, they're sick, I just really like their music, and I would definitely work with them?
I would say there's about five, like, in likes of UK, like Krypton, Conan, Jay Huss, Dave Stormzy, and Mostack. And then you've also got the other side of, like, American, like SZA, Her, Bruno Mars, like,
yeah,
those kind of artists, like Travis Scott, Migos, Drake, like, those are people that want to work with.
Quite a list of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go to Krypton Conan's ice cream shop yet?
Yeah, I've been there, yeah.
How is it? Because I've heard great. The food is incredible.
It's very good.
I, like, need to get over that ASAP.
There, yeah, you do. It's a very good place.
And what did you like? What did you try there?
I've been there twice now. So the first time I went, I got the chicken and waffle.
Oof.
That was amazing. The nice waffle with the syrup. Ooh.
You don't really get that in England as well. It's quite an American thing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly. And then the second time, I think I got a burger, but it was in, like, one of those panini buns. And it was like a double one.
Burger panini.
Yeah.
Take me to this place immediately.
James Acaster on Fubar Radio.
Ben Taylor is my guest today. We're both going to be putting our iPods on shuffle. How lovely. How nice.
Who's bad? To the kiddie in a jacko hat. To the kiddie in a Rooney shirt, dragging back. The curtains in the room in her daddy's flat. A young girl heard the truth in an alley cat. Howling on the roof next door. Imagine that. All your idols were just like you. Nothing's beyond you. Do what you want to do. If you feel that it wants you to. Look, it's true. Never meant nothing more than it means right now. When everything's fake. But you and your deepest reaches, keeping secrets, know what it takes to make a meaning mean something. I'm moving through a space that some can't see. I know this space exists, so do you if your heart beats me. Them things you don't show, I can see. Them things you don't say, speak to me. Them things you hide, ain't hiding. No firm ground, but we ain't sliding. Them things that haunt you, let them be. That thing you weep for, leave. All life is forward, you will see. It needs you to be.
Kate Tempest, on FUBAR. The Beigeness, that song's called. Finn Taylor, my
Hello.
Guest.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. Started off, that song's from a concept album.
Yeah, so what's the concept?
I don't know. I've listened to it so many times. I think there's, like, someone's dealing drugs. But, like, that's not a bad thing. Doesn't seem to be a bad thing in it. He's just in a bit of bother. People are after him. Another person doesn't like his girlfriend.
Normally a concept's more concise than this.
Yeah, normally there's a story to it, right?
Or just a scene.
There's like a bunch of stuff. There's like three different people in a bit of trouble and two of them end up running away together.
Right.
I think it's roughly what happens.
In that song or in the whole album?
In the whole album.
Right, okay.
So the whole album's like a story.
Uh-huh.
But like, I mean, people don't do concept albums a lot now, and I think it's because it's quite hard to...
Well, that sounded like a sort of lead single.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
That
yeah.
wasn't like the 1.5 minute track.
No, that's the...
That kind of weirds everyone out.
Yeah, that's definitely... She was told, probably.
Very poppy, yeah.
You need a single on there, because all the other songs are you talking about, people smashing in faces with hammers. There's a song on there about
really?
That. Really? Yeah. Smashing things up with hammers and beating people up with a hammer.
Yeah.
One of the worst things to get beat up with, I'd say. And you're the kind of guy, for people who don't know you, who I'd imagine has thought about what he wouldn't want to get beat up with the most. Like, you would think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You'd sit around and go, would I rather be beat up with a hammer or a saw?
Yeah. That's not far off from most thoughts when I'm by myself.
But let's delve into my iPod first and see what track comes up. So here we go. On shuffle now, iPod. Yoni Wolf.
Oh, nice.
On a styrofoam snowman's head, car salesmen asleep in their cars on lunch break, under the highway, on rim, the x-ray of someone's tumor skull left to scream doom from the gutter with all the other preventative waste, no name, no face, bacteria gangbanging in the window crack.
A single long stem rose, and the death of your god done dog.
Yoni Wolf, Rifle Eyes, from the Old Dope Rap Tape. That's what that's called.
I love hearing you say stuff like that. That won't have been, obviously no one saw that, but you like swung your arm. The Old Dope Rap Tape.
There it is. Lovely. Applause at the end. That's fun, isn't it? That's fun. I mean, he's my favourite musician, so that's...
Oh, great.
That's good for me whenever that comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got no problem there. I don't know if you can reach that wire around to you, Finn. It's kind of tangled up today. Finn just plugging in his laptop. Got that album on Bandcamp. You ever used Bandcamp?
I do. I've got a stand-up record on there.
Ah! Promote it now!
It's free, pay what you want. It's called Live from the Wardrobe. And, yeah.
Finn Taylor, spelt with one N.
One N.
Yeah, I don't often get to promo.
Big fan of Bandcamp.
Yeah,
I think it's great.
Should play Finn Taylor's on shuffle.
Right.
See what the first one. I mean, what's your dream opener here?
Oh, here we go. Well, I've just.
Oh, you started it already.
I paused it. So, but this is the one that's come up.
Is it playing?
No, I've paused it.
Oh, okay. Well, is it looking good?
Yeah, it's Mount Kimby, who I really like.
Okay, I've never heard.
It's electronic. Well, I'll let it speak for itself.
Okay, great. Here we go. Move Off by Mount Kimby.
Yeah.
That's from Finn Taylor's
Spotify library. But happy with that as a first track.
Yeah,
happy
you should that. Be. Very good. For the whole track trying to say something and being cut off. Yeah. Recorded that vocal over the phone in a tunnel, I think. I know nothing of Mount
Kimby. I think they're Brighton-based duo. Right. That was the first album that came out while I was at uni, so that, I think it might be like 2011.
Yeah.
That got very well reviewed.
Yeah?
In the kind of Pitchfork Guardian music circles.
Okay.
So they have a second album that came out that I think may have had the odd poster on the Tube, actually.
Okay.
So that would have got them a bit bigger.
But Tube status.
That's always good. That's always a sign of something.
Let's switch back onto mine, see what the next track is. So far, I think we've both had tracks that...
We're happy with.
Similar genres as well, though.
Yeah.
We're kind of like, you know, not exactly the same, but, you know, electronic.
Alt electronic. Kind of, yeah.
So we'll see if this next one will change things. Here we go. Oh, it's Dinosaur Feathers.
Gonna lay your head. I don't know. People keep asking me where you gonna lay your head. When you gonna lay your head? I thought I told you I don't know where I'm gonna lay my head. I don't have any answers. You've been on my mind. Well, I've been thinking about you.
Dinosaur Feathers on FUBAR there with On My Mind. Finn Taylor liked that and wrote it down.
I have indeed.
So that he will listen to more. They're very good.
Yeah, I like them.
That's from their Daytrotter session. I've talked about Daytrotter a lot on this, but Daytrotter's a website where you can join it for not much money and then download loads and loads of live sessions.
Oh, right. Well, I'll write that
for
down,
no then. Extra money. And what's it's a good way of, like, if you just like a band or if you've been recommended a band, just see if they're on Daytrotter, get their session, and then you just find out if you like them or not, and then you can buy more.
What's Dinosaur Feathers' story? What's their vibe?
I've got no idea. I got into them through just going on. I was trying to find walk-in music for a show I was doing.
Yeah.
And I wanted a certain vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just basically going on iTunes or Amazon and putting in bands that were the kind of tone I wanted, and then seeing the whole people also bought this. And then buying songs by those bands.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how I got into them. But, you know, whatever. Let's play your one and see if I was your girlfriend, if I would like it. That's a weird thing to say, isn't it?
That's a really Partridge thing to say.
Yeah, let's see if I was your girlfriend, if I would like your music.
What's coming up? I'm scared. Oh, it's Splash.
Is that the band's name?
Two H's, yeah.
It's two H's, of course. Yeah. Lovely. There we go. That ended when we weren't expecting. We're talking about podcasts, and then we just suddenly went, oh, yeah, that's how that song's finishing. Splash with two H's. What's the song called?
Head Spins.
And there, I guessed 80s, and then you said no.
I think that is from Pitchfork's albums of 2013.
Sounds good.
I think that's very recent, yeah.
Sounds good.
I think they're Australian, but that might be complete rubbish. I think they're British now I've said that.
Really?
Yeah.
So when you said Australian, I was going, because I thought they sounded a bit like The Clean, which are a New Zealand band, and that could have been...
I don't know then.
Who are also a bit like Pavement, but Pavement came after The Clean.
Right.
The Clean are good.
Okay.
I've only just started listening to them. Splash with two H's is fun, isn't it? It's fun to spell your name like that.
Yeah, they clearly just started with a call Splash, and then that Tom Daily show came out.
Oh, yeah. Like,
oh, God.
Was that literally the thing they were worried about getting confused
with? They were too well-known. A splash, they had to just, like yeah. orally, that they had to put another H in the end.
Yeah. Is that genuinely, why are you tricking me? I think you're tricking me.
No, I've made that up.
Yeah.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
I have my dear friend Florence Schechter with me, and I've pronounced your name right.
Yeah, Hannah Whitten.
Oh, God damn it. But I, like, if I was going to do it properly, I'd have to be like, where's the in it?
In the middle. Schechter.
Schechter. Mm. Nailed it.
Yeah, you did.
Jew Club. So, for people listening, Florence and I went to the University of Birmingham together. That's how we know each other. But more recently than that, Florence has founded the Vagina Museum.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to basically be quizzing you all about the Vagina Museum. But what we do on this show when we have new guests on is we initiate them.
Oh, no.
By searching their name on Urban Dictionary. Wait, why is the...
Mine is what? So nice!
What just happened? This has never happened before. What?
I promise I
that
didn't plant
you?
It. I didn't plant it.
Oh, God. I was like, what is happening? Okay. I thought, you know how, like, on... I was like, what's happening? You know when you go on the Urban Dictionary homepage and it has, like, word of the day? Basically, Urban Dictionary is here and it just says Florence. And I freaked out thinking that it was the word of the day. And my producer, Lissy, is just going, no, I already searched it. Like, damn you. Like, properly freaking out. Okay. Do you want to read the definition for Florence?
Oh, it feels a bit egotistical.
No, do it. It's brilliant.
Florence, the most beautiful name any female can possibly have.
Oh, and then I love doing the examples. So, mum number one. Ooh, she's adorable. What's her name? Mum number two. I know, she's 6 months now. Her name's Florence. Mum number one. I'm not surprised. Suits her perfectly.
Oh.
What? Like, my favourites is like how you would use it in a sentence. It's like so ridiculous. I love it. Yeah, so what kind of things could people expect in a vagina museum? Like, what's the thing?
Well,
the
I mean,
like, what is that?
So the dream, the final museum, it's going to have three main galleries. It's going to have a science gallery, it's going to have a cultural one, it's going to have a history one. So the science Ooh. One is, like, essentially anything you need to know about having a vagina or interacting with a vagina. So, like, yeah. This is what the vagina is, but this is what the clitoris is, and this is what the uterus is, and this
so,
is
like,
all the
whole
things
vulva,
they do.
Everything.
Well, vulva's just external, but yeah. also internal stuff.
Yeah.
And then it will be, like, also, you know, intersex, gender identity, sexuality, menstruation, menopause, anything you could possibly need
mm-hmm,
to know
mm-hmm.
is going to be in there.
I'm so into it.
Also animals, because just for me, because also animals have the most amazing vaginas. Oh, my God. Did you know it is impossible for a hyena to be raped because her clitoris blocks the entrance to her vagina? And the only way you can get into her vagina is if she purposefully retracts her clitoris and opens the hole.
So, but does she have to pull it, or could someone else do that, or is it just it
no?
Just
it's a muscle. It's a muscle construction.
It's a muscle, so it's
yeah.
her doing it.
Yeah. And then there's going to be a cultural one, which will be like vagina representations in culture, so like in art and music
yeah.
and stuff. But also, it'll be how cultures treat our vaginas.
Yeah.
And then the history one will be about, like, basically feminism.
All right, it is game time. What is that noise? What is happening outside?
That was really weird.
But Abby's here.
Hi.
Yay. And we're going to play a game of Position Impossible.
Position Impossible.
Okay, so the way that this game works is that Abby has a list of sex positions. Some are real, some are made up. And we have to guess if it is a real position or not. And if it's real, what it is.
Ooh.
Yeah?
And I also, some of them are just oral. They're not just a sex position.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's just all different things our bodies can do together.
Mm. I'm actually really excited because there's really good ones.
Lizzie emailed me last night just like, oh my God, they're really good.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh.
Got some ideas.
I found this website and I was like, tomorrow we need to start using them.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so.
What have you been Googling?
So what about the Bermuda Triangle?
Oh my God.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Three people involved.
No.
Wow. I'm going to go yes.
Yeah, I've kind of given it away then.
Yeah, if you know it's not three people, then
yeah.
Okay, then you can both get a point.
Yeah.
What is it?
Okay. Right, so I'm like it has to be in the shape of a triangle.
Yeah.
I'm, like, trying to think, like, how bodies...
And maybe something gets lost in that triangle. maybe
a condom.
Maybe
it's like, oh, no,
maybe it's when a guy, like, puts his peen in that triangle that your thigh takes.
That's what I say, and everyone says, you say peen.
Like, yeah. I love it. MTV, like, did a thing, like, a tweet about me, and they had this picture, and it was me, and they, like, did loads of, like, speech bubbles of, like, things that Hannah Witton, like, says, you know, like, and one of them was peen. Peen! Like, yeah, because I just go around shouting peen all the time.
Brilliant.
Anyway, that's a tangent. Bermuda Triangle. Okay, so I'm, like, imagining how people get in triangles, and, like, I feel like one person's, like, lying on their side, and then the other person... I feel like it could be, like, a 69 if one person was a lot taller than the other person. So then, like...
They have to bend in the middle.
Yeah, then the really tall person becomes the giant. Like, anyway, that's not that, then, is it?
No.
No. That's my guess. That's my official guess. I give up. No.
Do you want to give it a whirl?
I think it's when... It's 69ing, but one of them is doing oral and the other one is using their fingers, so they have to be, like, you know, their arms have
to
be out.
So the arm is the other bit of the triangle. Is it oral? No, it's not.
I'll narrow it down for you. It's foreplay.
So it's fingers and hands. Mm. Oh, this is new. We've not had this.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm excited. Okay.
And there is a triangle involved. One part of the body makes a triangle.
Elbow.
Mm.
Fingers.
Leg.
Yeah.
Leg.
Oh, is it when you have sex with that knee, the backward bit of the knee? Oh, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't...
Wait, but, like... Oh, right, so you're putting the dick in between the back of your knee. Wait, so the knee makes... But is it a hand job or fingering?
Fingers.
I hate the word fingering. Fingering. Okay, so it's on a...
How do you...
And there's a knee making a shape...
Oh, is the person who's being fingered like in that position where you're like stretching out your muscles? Like, I can't do it.
Like
right
you're
now,
doing a yoga, like
yeah, like
yoga
full
meditation.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But like only one leg, only one knee.
Only one leg is up. Yeah. So,
but is it up? So it's like up, or is it like down? Like an
foot. So the bottom of their foot is pressed to like their other knee.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are they?
And they're sat up. Or lying. They could be lying down, actually. Whilst the other person is over mm-hmm. them.
No, not quite.
Oh,
almost
what?
There.
What?
You're literally almost there.
Ah, is the person behind them?
Yes. And if they're not...
Like Ghost.
What's that?
The film Ghost with the...
Oh, right, yeah.
With the...
But they're not sat down.
That they're lying down?
No.
They're standing up like a ballerina.
Yes. There we go.
There we go. So that's why the leg is up.
There we go. That was a collaborative effort. There we go.
Gosh.
And also...
Oh, it's two ladies!
Yeah, it's two girls. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, we found the non-heteronormative website for sex positions. Wait, I can't post this on Snapchat right now because it's Friday morning.
Yes,
people
will
be confused. No, I'm gonna
other time zone.
I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to save it and then I will post them to Snapchat.
Mm. Mm. For the people at home who can't see the diagram...
They're also fondling with their breasts.
Yeah, there's a lot of fondling going on. So partner one stands up and the other partner is stood in front of them. They have the bottom of their foot placed towards their knee, making a triangle shape. And yeah, there's lots of fondling going on.
Yeah. I normally send all these pictures of the sex positions to my boyfriend, but I'm like, yes, Friday morning, babe. There you go.
Okay, number two is the Drift Bridge.
What?
The Drift Bridge.
Yes.
Okay.
I can't imagine, like, making that up.
Really? No, I mean, what would drift mean? I don't think it's real.
Like a piece of driftwood? I don't know.
Okay, so Hannah's saying real.
Yeah.
It is fake.
Ah, yeah. Damn it. Good one. It sounds like something out of Lord of the Rings.
We must cross the Drift Bridge.
That's so true. Okay, exactly. What about the twisty three-way?
What?
Twisty three-way?
Hannah Lizzie's going to explode with excitement, like,
Is it when you do oral sex in a triangle, but you're all, like, at a funny angle?
Are there,
twisty?
Wait, it's real. I'm going to say
real. Yeah, I think it's real.
Mm-hmm. Okay, both right. It is real.
Are there three people involved?
Yes.
This is the best website. Okay. Oh man, we've got another body to contend with here now. Oh, right. Okay.
So it's 50% extra body.
Is it like a like the human centipede but nicer?
No,
including three people.
No, thank God.
Okay, twisty three.
But nicer.
Does it involve Fazili?
No, unfortunately not.
Are you, is it? Are all three people lying down?
No. One person is lying down.
One person is lying down.
Mm-hmm.
Is that person having most of the stuff done to them?
Yes.
Are the other two people only focused on them?
Or yes.
Okay, interesting. So, is their face being sat on?
No. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with the face.
Nothing to do with the face.
Nothing to do with the face. Oh.
Is there any penetration involved at any point?
There is.
There is. So, is the person lying down, do they have a dick, and then then someone sat on the dick?
No.
No. Okay, so the person lying down, someone sat on top of the person lying down, has a dick, and they're penetrating them that way.
Someone sat, but they're not the person penetrating.
Wait, so there's someone lying, someone sitting, someone standing. It sounds like that improv game.
Like any one moment, someone has to have it on all three levels. Oh, God.
So you're getting closer and closer.
Right, okay. So.
Someone's lying down, someone sat on top, and then there's a third person.
Okay, one person's lying down, another person is giving oral sex to that person, but twisted around the other way, whilst they are being penetrated from behind by someone. Jesus Christ. Help me out, Florence.
Oh my God. it's too much to handle. My brain can't process it all.
Do you want to give it a shout?
Okay, I think... oh God, I don't know. I think the third person is just watching.
Watching and masturbating.
Yeah. That would have been a good twist. Okay, let me break this down for you. So,
oh God,
because you're basically there. I'll give you both a point for it.
Ding, so ding, ding.
Yeah, person one's lying down.
Yeah.
The second person on top. They could be receiving, but not in this photo that it's plausible, but they're basically sucking on breasts, and then the other person is stood behind. And at the end of bottom one, person one.
So they're
penetrating.
Still
the person lying down.
Person lying down.
Yeah.
So the person on top sucking the breasts could have a vagina or a penis. It's
yes.
Kind of irrelevant. Can you see that?
I see.
Mm-hmm. They're not hovering.
That's confusing.
Back row and chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome, Lucy Shorthouse. Can we have a little applause in here? Thank you. Yeah.
Here we go.
Woo!
Yas queen!
You're currently and recently been starring in the latest West End show. Everybody's talking about Jamie.
Yes.
Which is really, really exciting. Tell us a bit about that.
So it's about a 16-year-old boy who kind of wants to explore the world of drag. And the way he kind of wants to introduce that idea to people is going to school prom in a dress. Mm-hmm. And it's based on a true life story. It's on a BBC Three documentary. Just kind of trials and tribulations, how people accept him, how people might encourage him and celebrate him or not.
It is like a camp fabulous production.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's kind of like Billy Elliot on steroids.
Yes.
I would say it is fabulous. The guy who played Jamie.
Oh, he's so good.
He's incredible. And also just physically, he's so unusual looking and tall.
He's just beautiful. Like his cheekbones, he's just, you know, he's just got a model body. Like he could wear anything and look amazing. But also, I think people forget because he's so good as Jamie and he's so effortless in it. It is a part that he plays. I think people expect him to be just like
and
that in real life.
Is he not like that at all?
No, he's a lot more kind of reserved and he's like a true kind of actor. Like he really... Yeah. He works very hard.
Does he do drag outside of Jamie?
No, he doesn't, no. But he can walk in heels so well.
Yeah,
I forget
like,
he's doing it every night.
Like, queen, seriously. Yeah. I stack it every time every I wear heels. And his heels are like proper stripper, 9-inch.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're crazy. It was really current. Like, obviously, Billy Elliot is brilliant, but Billy Elliot is also dated because it was set in that time and around those issues. And now this musical is all about these issues today.
Yeah, and it's not a coming out story as well. I think that was really important. That
he's already gay.
Yeah, about like 10, 15, 20 years ago, it would have been a coming out musical. And actually, no, that's taken as a given. He's been out since he was 13. This is about him
becoming
exploring gender neutrality and all that sort
becoming
of stuff.
Becoming me.
Yeah.
And so your role, you are his best friend in the show.
Yeah.
How did you get that? Did you just go up for an audition?
It was my first ever kind of professional job was the workshop for the musical.
Whoa.
And I remember thinking, the description said, chubby Muslim. And I was like, oh, that's me. So it ended up being my first professional role. But because you do a workshop doesn't necessarily mean you'll get
the
you
role.
Know, I thought, oh, they'll get someone who, because I never trained in musical theatre.
Did you not?
No. So I just thought, oh, they'll get someone who can really do all the high kicks and singing and stuff. But then I've been lucky enough to kind of stay with the team, although I had to, you know, re-audition and stuff. Mm. She's a lovely part to play. And I think it's important that she's a girl who happens to be a Muslim, this character. Her name's Priti Pasha. And you wouldn't maybe put those two together, their best friends, Jamie, this aspiring drag queen, and then this kind of
Muslim girl,
more reserved Muslim girl who wants to be a doctor. But actually, everyone knows those people in real life who you go, how did you become friends? You know, seemingly opposite, but they just kind of mold together.
Yeah, it's really brilliant. And it seems so real. Like, it's all set in the schoolroom around the schoolyard. And it's kind of that, like, I saw people who went to my school.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
was like, yeah, that boy was definitely in my school. That girl was definitely in my school. Or maybe that was in my sister's.
We get that response a lot, that actually people recognise those different, because there are school kids and they're an ensemble, but they each have their own kind of identity. And they still feel really nuanced on stage and stuff. And a lot of people are going, I was that kid at school. Yeah.
So you said this was your first like West End. Have you done any, what was your sort of acting history before?
So I kind of took a long route. So I went to Cambridge to study first. I kind of went there really naively, didn't know about the theatre scene and the Footlights and stuff like that. I thought, oh no, I'll stay on the straight and narrow academic path. And then I kind of fell back into performing again. And then I went to drama school after that because I thought I'll always think, what if?
Yeah.
So I graduated from Italia Conti, just the acting side, not the jazz hands, and then got Jamie. And then I've kind of been working, so 2.5 years since graduation, just doing odd things.
Amazing.
Yeah, so this has probably been my biggest thing.
So all you guys are playing school kids. Can I ask how old, like, roughly is everyone? Like,
we kind of vary. So the youngest is 19, the oldest is 30.
Oh wow,
it's crazy. But actually, when we're all in that uniform,
yeah, because you're all in uniform,
yeah, and we all mess around as well. So it's just, it feels like
your kids.
We've got that energy. Yeah, I'm playing 16, but it would be nice. So I'm kind of in my 20s. It'd be nice to play something a bit more. So maybe my next role will take a bit more of a departure and play something a bit older. Yeah.
How do you deal with nerves? Because you've got some big singing numbers in there. Big singing numbers.
Yeah. I always have, every night I go, after my first sing, like proper singing number, I can relax. But I don't get that nervous, if that makes sense. I'm quite nervous and quite wired and anxious in everyday life. But as soon as as soon as I get on stage, I kind of get a bit calm.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's really weird, but it kind of, it just happens.
You're a true performer.
Oh, God.
I have to ask, don't you see gossip? Has anything ever gone wrong in a show? Like, what's...
So people just late on entrances. My hair came out of my hijab. And people...
Yeah, because you're totally covered the whole time.
Yeah, totally covered. Yeah, and you know, and it's really part of her identity and her faith. And I had a strand of hair that was just, like, poking out. And people were, like, eyes were, like... massive at me, and I was thinking, what's going on? Have I got, like, you know, have I got something on my face? And then it was in the toilet scene, which is quite an entertaining scene if you see the show, and John had to go, and he was like, pushed it back, and I was like, oh no. But there's little things that happen, like little, oh my God, okay, I've got a big one. I fell off the desk and gripped the edge of the stage. That was bad. That I really thought we were gonna have to stop the show,
because plop into the audience.
Yeah, it was just the audience's faces when they thought I was launching at them. But I mean, I recovered. It was fine.
Like, I've paid £99 for this ticket. Yeah. Didn't think it was going to be an interactive
stage dive. Yeah.
So you've been with John. Have you ever had it where you've had an understudy fill in and you've had to do the show without John?
Yeah, that actually happened really recently, actually. And his name's Luke Bayer, and he's did a fantastic job. But they play the character very differently, which, as an actor, is a dream, because you get to something new. Yeah, so it was different, kind of getting used to a different kind of actor on stage, but really fun. And that character is really the... Well, it's the lead, it's the engine of the show. So
everyone's talking about Jamie.
Yeah, so how that actor decides to portray that character, it really does have a domino effect on everyone. So we really had to be present and listening, and but it was really fun.
So in the future, where do you daydream? Like, what's the goals?
I just hope I'm still working. I'm always like, what if this is my last job? I just want to keep learning, hopefully a bit more TV, a bit more film. Because at drama school, you don't get that much chance to do all that. And it's a real skill and technique just to get on board with camera work.
I was also like, when I remember when I watched it, and I was like, I wish there was more characters like this
seen every day on the TV, because I was so amazing that I got to go to the theatre. I don't like
every day go to the theatre, who can?
And I was like, oh, I wish there was more like really feisty, intelligent Muslim girls represented.
Exactly.
In just pop up on screens and on TVs and adverts and banners. And
I've been seeing it a lot more actually recently, and I feel like, you know, there was a River Island ad with hijabi girl, and then I was reading an article today about these hip-hop hijabi artists and stuff like that. So it's becoming more and more of it, but it's still very niche. And I was very adamant that I didn't want Pretty to be seen as like a gimmick character that, or let's put a token one in, and she's not, because the way she's, you know, how it's written, she's fully formed and very rich as a character. But hopefully we're going to see more of a shift. And
so you don't wear the hijab in your day-to-day? That's no, just a character.
I don't practice any kind of faith, but I've got Muslim family as well, so they were great to like get all the research and to do it right and sensitively.
Granny.
Basing
this character on that's really cool. No, that would be fabulous. I think for sure you've got like a full career ahead of you.
The Jack Mate Show on FUBAR Radio.
Nice, easy. It's Eddie Brett.
Yo.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Come all the way from Braintree.
Oh, yeah.
How long's that on the train?
Well, it's 45-minute drive to Snaresbrook Station and then about half hour on the Central Line.
Do you get a snack on the way?
I stopped off at McDonald's, now the Monopoly's on
What'd you get?
I got 5 chicken selects and a large sides because you get more stickers.
Yeah,
he knows.
I always go for that.
Only in Monopoly time, usually.
Yeah. It runs out soon, doesn't it?
Does it? It's just started.
No, it isn't. I've been out about 3-4 weeks now.
Ah.
Yeah, I think it's only got a couple left.
Did you get involved with the rib burger?
The rib burger?
Yeah, the rib burger.
Something's telling me that I did and it weren't all that.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
My school used to do a rib burger, and I was like, it's something like that. It's just messy as fuck, and it's horrible.
Yeah, I think sometimes some things can be too good to be true sort of scenario.
They sound good, but when you...
Yeah.
When you, like...
Because part of the fun with ribs is the whole bone thing, do you know what I mean?
Nah, not for me.
Nah?
I don't like it. If it's got a bone going through it...
Oh, see, I grew up on chicken and chips, so I'm a big fan of eating off the bone.
Oh, right.
I like chicken. I like chicken on the bone, but ribs, there's not enough meat on it.
Tell you what's rank.
Oh, go on then.
Curry, I had one in Dubai and it had the bone on in there.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I'm not a fan of that. That's like if you get, like, a Caribbean curry and that, and you got all...
you're not expecting that.
You're chewing it, thinking it's a bit of lamb, and then your teeth crack, and it's like... And then that's in the bowl now as well, your cracked tooth.
Oh, my God. What a concoction.
When I was in Turkey, I had a sausage that's sort of like... Oh, sausage.
Right, here we
go. I was in a sauna.
It was a sausage, and it split and went into 4 bits at the end. It's weird. It looked
like a candle.
Looked like a Catherine wheel, yeah. Catherine wheel. They look like a Catherine wheel. Didn't move. So that's some weird food. Anyway, let's talk about your music, Eddie.
Please do.
Obviously made famous by Lovable Rogues.
Yeah.
And now pursuing a solo career.
Yeah.
How's that going?
Not as well as I thought it would be at first.
Right, is it?
I thought it would be a bit quicker, if I'm being completely honest.
At least you're honest.
But yeah, it's just... at first I sort of jumped in at it, and then I realised you can afford to have a bit of time to find who you want to be, do you know what I mean? Like, I was very much knew who I was in the band, and then I stepped out to be my own person, and then I was like, shit, this version of me isn't necessarily completely the person I want to be. Took a bit of time out, and now I'm just like ready to get back into it all.
Okay.
So did you like kind of carry on the same vibe with the Lovable Rogues to start with?
I think that it was like my flavour of the Lovable Rogues as opposed to just being me.
Yeah.
And I went on tour on my own straight after, and it was just, it felt like a drop back. Like going around with a load of lads on tour, it's great fun, whereas going around on your own, you're missing something. Yeah. And I thought, right, if this is what it's going to be like, I'm not sure I even want to be a part of this. Went out, took a bit of, I bought a boat, had a bit of a cruise around England on the narrow boat, and then I was like,
amazing.
Right, let's get back in there.
Sick. Yeah. Oh, nice. Where'd you go on your narrow boat?
I got it in Oxford, and then I took it all the way Henley, and then I went over the Thames.
Fucking
how long were you on that for?
What do you mean, a narrow boat?
Yeah.
About 7 months.
Really?
Oh, that's well good.
Like that. Yeah, man, it was good fun.
Wow.
So
when you were touring solo for the first time, and you say you were kind of missing like the boys and stuff like that, did you not want to jump back into the band, or was there...
Well, it's a bit like a relationship. You end up getting to that point where it's like all you can see is the bits that piss you off about the other person. It doesn't mean that you don't like them and that. It's just when you're ready to, you tapped him on the shoulder, you just broke up with someone.
No, he's hinting that I piss him off because we're
doing a lot. But you get to that point. We were in in the van with each other for 3 years straight, like more or less every day. And it's in that proximity, like everyone's different, you know what I mean? Yeah. We all have factors that piss each other off with our own mates.
Yeah.
But you're down the pub and then you go to work and you don't actually see each other 24/7,
yeah.
whereas we did. So then you get to that point where it all feels a bit exhausted. Mm. So we've had like a nice bit of time away from each other now. We're all still speaking and that, but it's just been nice to go and explore ourselves, which we met when we was little kids. So
yeah.
now it's like, yeah, it's a bit of time to be a young adult and find yourself.
What are the other guys doing solos?
Tay's doing like writing and singing stuff at the moment, and then Sonny's going more into like presenter acting work. Yeah, it's a bit, and there's that competition factor of when you know people, it's like, right, who's going to do something big first?
Yeah.
And stuff. So we're all trying to do the little rat race at the
moment.
Well,
I think you're here on FUBAR, so you are third.
Yeah, take that, Tay and Sonny. Fucking wankers.
In the Lovable Roads, were you a heavy writing force in it?
Yeah, well, all three of us did. Yeah, we all took turns on different songs, to be honest. It's a case of you need material, you need to put stuff out there. Whoever wants to do it, if you chuck it at the wall, and if everyone likes it, well, then you go with it.
And so when we're doing your solo stuff, do you have a full band behind you, or is it just you and the acoustic?
I will have a full band, yeah. I'm not really into like acoustic people, yeah. which I know is completely contradictory, because that's what I'm doing at the moment. But that was the reason I started the band, is I was doing my own thing before, and I find it fucking boring, if I'm being honest. It's how many white acoustic singers with guitars do you know?
Yeah.
And I fall asleep watching them. I guess that's sort of why my lyrics are a bit sort of tongue-in-cheek as well, because it makes it jump out a little bit more than a normal acoustic geezer does. But I'll have a band.
Do you like, a bit of a random question, do you like the King Blues?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You remind me a bit of that.
It's funny, like when people say, oh, you might, like, I didn't know any of these people until after, like, people say you sound like them, you go away and you're like, oh, fuck, yeah, I do. And I like the things that he's writing about, and we have a similar flow. It's weird. I guess if you take the same elements of a person, you're still the same person somewhere else, if that makes sense, yeah.
So do you miss that kind of camaraderie?
Camaraderie.
Is that what you want?
No, yeah, that's the thing. It's like sometimes you need other people to help you make decisions.
Yeah.
And I have. That's why I'm currently on the prowl for a new manager, because I like having someone else to go, that's shit, this is good, this is what we're doing. When you're just on your own, it's all a bit like you can do anything, and it's a bit scary because there's so much possibility out there. What do I actually want to do?
Well, I suppose even with like the live element, you miss like just sharing the kind of gig experience, being on stage with people.
Yeah, I mean, I like it all being about me. But no, definitely when you're in a band, there's that vibe on stage.
Yeah,
and it just feels like it's just this great energy. So yeah, I do miss that.
Oh, nice, man. A couple of the people in the room, so obviously I'm talking about you, Tom and Will, have actually a loose connection to yourself.
Yes.
And Tom, you go first. Do you want to tell Eddie how...
Tom's shitting himself.
No, Eddie should be the one shitting himself, because if he doesn't recognise him, it's going to get awkward, and he doesn't. No, you won't. Yeah, no pressure.
The thing is, you do it up the wrong way.
Yeah, I know. I've done
just
it.
Just go. I'm scared now.
No, it's nothing really.
If she was your sister, I apologise.
She was my mum. She was my mum. No, I filmed you once.
When was that?
It was a session, a live session
for
Lovable Rogues, and it was when you sang Rude.
Oh shit! All right.
Nah, come on, Eddie. Don't
yeah,
yeah.
No. Yeah. No, that come out.
Did
wicked.
You say Sonny's got into the acting business?
I remember that. Yeah. Not too clear.
Yeah. I'm sorry, mate. I'm shit with faces and names, but it was a great session, and you've done a terrific job.
Thanks, Ed. There you go.
Got loads of views on YouTube. Thanks for that.
Clip team, that's a testimonial for the production.
What about you, Will?
Oh dear, here we go.
Recognise that.
Will, for
this
the listeners.
This is at a university somewhere.
Will has just Southampton,
nice.
Vindy
Premium Nightclub.
Clubbing picture of Will being a little fanboy and asking Eddie for a picture.
See, these were the worst gigs to do in nightclubs, because, like, we only realise at the end of it that you don't actually have to like properly perform. People go to a nightclub to get pissed up, to have someone on decks going, tonight, how are we doing, Southampton, yes. Whereas at the time, we're like, oh shit, no, we're a band, we need to take all our guitars on, all that. But like, feedback in nightclubs, it just sounds shit. But we, like, I wish we just fucking grabbed two mics and just sung other people's songs and stuff, and just, yeah, it was always a bit like, bit awkward when
did
we
you have to do like a tour of that stuff.
Well, it's just a good like cash spin. Yeah, okay, we yeah. made a fucking fortune on it. Like every night, you're doing about three different clubs.
Yeah,
and you're just hopping onto the next one.
Oh, fuck that's
yeah!
Nuts.
We made that's more money from that than like the record label and stuff.
Plenty. Really?
It's meant. Yeah, that's why you get all like these Geordie Shore people and Towie making a pocket. Like, or even if you go on Big Brother, you come out, you do the circuit because that's like
yeah,
it's nice, easy cash. You're there for an hour. Fuck off to the next place.
Okay, yeah. I'm in the wrong game, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, but loads of people want to meet me.
I had a terrible, terrible little club in Norwich. It's not even really a club, it's like a tiny little bar. Ask me if they could play Hip to Be a Hipster.
Fucking wow. hell.
Yeah.
That's closed down now, I hope.
I said, no, I said, you can't. They was like, we get £100. I was like, no. You can't.
Oh, just to play it?
Yeah, but I had to be there.
Or do, sing it.
Nah. Oh. Be hype man.
Skinny Jeans.
Inside.
Skinny Jeans.
Yeah.
Do you have a specific, like, place to write songs, or do you write them?
Nah, some things just like things just hit you sometimes. You strum a chord and then it just makes you feel a certain way, and then you just go with it. Usually, the best things write themselves straight away. If it takes too long, I tend to just let it lay there,
let it die.
Yeah,
did you write many when you was on this boat traveling around the UK?
I did, yeah.
We thought that was really therapeutic, or not?
What was the boat?
Yeah, just being. Yeah. On-